All right, everyone. Today I'd like to talk about tone and how vocabulary and grammar really aren't the only things that you should be focusing on when learning a language, not just English, but really any language. For those of you who don't know, this podcast is primarily intended for my current and former students, but my name is Chris Kowalczyk and I am an ESL teacher. So I've been teaching non-native speakers of English, you know, how to use English, about 18 years total. 6 years in Japan, so I know the difficulties of living abroad and learning a second language and communicating in a second language. I also spent summers in Japan as a kid. My mom is actually from Japan, so I have that experience as well. So I always try to use that to connect with students. But yeah, so for those of you who don't know me personally, thanks for checking out the podcast. This is actually the third time I'm recording this episode. The first couple of times my dog was interrupting me. I have a dog, very elderly dog, and one cat who is currently bothering me as well. He's inspecting the microphone. Hopefully he doesn't say, hey, buddy, trying to step on the computer. Okay, so the reason I'm talking about tone is this is something I always talk about with students, actually, right? For those of you who know me, is it's not enough to just study vocabulary and grammar, right? You need to practice nonverbal communication because even in the second language, it's different as well, right? Cultures are different. The way we communicate is different. Nonverbal communication in Japan, which could be gestures, body language, your posture, and so on, how close you are to other people, that was different in Japan than it is here in the US. And even in the US, it really depends on the situation. Are you at work? Are you with a customer? Are you talking to your neighbor? You know, are you in public transportation, right? So there's a, if we think of communication, not just language, but communication in general, there's a lot of things we have to think about, again, beyond vocabulary and grammar. And I think where a lot of students have trouble is you can practice the vocabulary and grammar. You can kind of learn that on your own, but communication in general is not just about the language, but about culture. And of course, culture and language are connected. I know that. But what I'm trying to say is you have to think about a lot of other things. How much are you talking? Are you talking enough? Are you giving enough time for the other person to talk? What are you doing with your hands, your body, your face, your tone of voice, the tone of your language? What kind of vocabulary are you using? Just because the vocabulary is correct doesn't mean it's the right word for that situation. So these are all the different things you have to think about. And it can get difficult, especially when you get to that advanced level of learning a language. But I mean, to be fully competent, I think, or to be truly effective as a communicator in any language, I think you need to think beyond vocabulary and grammar. And I had the same situation in Japan, or even before I moved there, is, you know, I was observing how people behaved, yes, from movies and TV, but also just from real life. And while I lived there, I continued observing how people communicated, what kind of words they used, how their tone of voice changed, you know, their body language and things like that. So these are things that you can observe as well if you're paying attention. Yes, again, movies and TV are fine, but also radio, podcasts. And just when you're outside, just observe people, pay attention to what they're doing and how they're talking. And I think you'll actually learn a lot. So let me get right down to it. Tone is the specific focus here. So I don't mean tone of your voice, I mean the tone of your language. So this is mostly focused on written communication. I think I've talked about tone of voice in other podcasts, and I'm pretty sure I'll talk about it again. I wanted to focus on three situations where tone can be very important and can really affect communication. I'm going to focus mainly on what I call the breakup letter, and then I'll talk about complaining and a little bit about absences, reporting absences, because as a teacher, students sometimes tell me that they're going to be absent or they were absent. But I'm going to focus mostly on the breakup letter just because something recently happened, say about a month ago, which really made me think about tone. So, in relationships and, you know, breakup letters and so on, or messages. And it's not the first time I've thought about this, but what happened recently really made me think about it more seriously. And of course, it was a painful experience, but I'm not here to talk about, I guess, the emotions necessarily, but I want to use it as an example of how even someone with the right intentions and, you know, can sound cold or uncaring through because of the tone mismatch. So let's, and what I'm going to do actually is I will be making a follow-up video, an instructional of how to use ChatGPT to avoid these problems. So I'll make that in the next one. But for now, I just kind of want to talk through it and just kind of give you the general impressions. But yeah, ChatGPT would be a great thing to use if you're concerned about the tone of your messages or speech or email or something you want to put on your blog or whatever, okay? So the basic idea here is I wanted to talk about this. I wouldn't even call it a breakup because we weren't necessarily in a relationship, but it felt like the end of a relationship in terms of this connection that we had. So, and I think it ended fairly well. I don't think anything bad happened, that we weren't yelling at each other or anything like that. But my point is, the message that I got, well, first of all, the other person did not want to talk about it over the phone, which is kind of difficult, right? If you had a strong connection with somebody, even if you weren't in a boyfriend, girlfriend, romantic, whatever kind of relationship, still, I think if you had a strong connection with someone where there was a possibility of romance and it was seemed to be heading in that direction, to get the to be told that it's over and that you just want to be friends or that kind of thing, to be told that over text and not to have a phone call after, in my experience, is actually pretty, I don't know if disrespectful is the right word, but tactless, I would say. But, you know, you don't always get the closure that you want, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes a phone call is too stressful for the other person, or sometimes they don't care. So you don't always get what you want at the end of a relationship. And that's just part of life as well. But I wanted to focus on the message, and not necessarily the content, but the feeling of that message. So I was pretty aware that it was sent as, or it was written using AI. It sounded very AI. And what I mean by that is it was very polished. It was nothing like this person usually communicates, so it sounded like a completely different person. But yeah, it was very polished and very neutral, avoiding. There were definitely no mistakes, which again is different from how this person usually communicates. And that's fine. I mean, I make mistakes when I'm communicating by text or email as well sometimes. I mean, by text especially. And that's just the nature of it. But my point is, in my opinion, and I think I actually did talk about this with some other people, and I think for a lot of people, after such an emotional situation where you did have a connection with someone, the professionalism, the formality, the neutral tone of something created using ChatGPT, for example, actually can come off as very hurtful and cruel or disrespectful. Now, I do understand that some people are more sensitive to tone than others. Some people might not care. Okay, I don't know if you heard that pause right before my dog started barking, but I had to go take care of her. For those of you who don't know, my dog is 19 years old. It's amazing that she's still alive, but thankfully, she's actually functioning pretty well. She does get confused. She's blind. I don't know if she's deaf. She might be deaf. I don't know. Fireworks yesterday for 2 days ago was 4th of July. Fireworks don't bother her at all, so she might be deaf. But she definitely knows when I step up. Even if I go into the next room, she'll often follow me. So things are working. She's not in a diaper, thank God. So yeah, I should be fortunate, but like I tell my students, she drives me crazy. Thankfully, she's sleeping through the night. There was a time when she was waking up in the middle of the night and waking me up. Yeah, everything's pretty much under control now. But she does get a little crazy sometimes. Okay, so getting back to my point. is that I think sometimes when people use ChatGPT or other AI writing tools, it's possible that they feel that by using the correct grammar and vocabulary and getting their ideas presented as accurately as possible, I think some people believe that's enough. But I think we need to go to that next level and think about tone, is our word choice, how we phrase things. This also affects communication. So what I'm getting back to the, again, I shouldn't call it a breakup letter, but that's just kind of a convenient way to frame it. But it was, again, it was very polished, which to me comes off as cold, especially because my message to this person was very heartfelt. You know, I wouldn't say emotional, but, you know, it felt like, well, first of all, I actually wrote it. So that's one difference. I actually, yeah, everything that I wrote was my idea, more or less. But it was warm. There were moments of vulnerability. It wasn't perfectly structured. You know, I mean, the grammar and vocabulary were fine, but what I'm saying is it wasn't precisely structured, you know, with every sentence flowing into the next one necessarily. And anyway, so my point is the message that I had received felt like almost like an essay. And to me, just everything smelled of AI use. Again, I can empathize and see from the other person's point of view is that maybe they weren't confident in how they could best express themselves. Maybe they wanted to say something without being too emotional. I don't know. It's just that this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this as well. You know, I've had plenty of breakups. Again, this was not a breakup, but I've had plenty of breakups in the past. I don't know how many. And usually we would exchange messages at the end, you know, very nice messages. Thank you for everything, you know, this time together. I'm sorry we couldn't, you know, things like that. Usually they're pretty amicable breakups. And even the ones that were a little bit dramatic, usually after a few weeks, we'll send each other a message. And they've always sounded very human. A little bit messy, a little bit unstructured. Sometimes it goes on too long. Sometimes it's really short. But I could always tell that there was a human touch to those. And what happened last month was the first time I was really sure that this was not a person who wrote this, that there was a lot of help from AI. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm trying to say here, but there are a lot of other situations like this, maybe with a friend who you're trying to encourage, or maybe you're sending an apology to somebody, or any kind of other situation where there are emotions involved and there is some type of relationship, whether that's coworker, friend. And I'm not talking about professional situations, because in those cases, you might want to be very formal. I don't know. But I'm talking about more closer connections, friendships, coworkers in a non-professional situation, neighbors, you know, things like that. Or in this case, you know, someone who you had a more than friend kind of connection with, even if it wasn't necessarily a romantic relationship. But I think that a lot of people will pick up on that tone, or if it's too polished, I think they'll pick up on that too. So what was my interpretation of this? Again, not to have this be therapy hour for myself. Trust me, I've done a lot of processing over this situation. It was pretty heartbreaking, but I was able to talk about it with a few people, and they were really helpful, and I did kind of my own work trying to figure out my emotions and what happened, and I feel like I'm in a much better place now. But from my end, it felt like the person maybe didn't even really care to send me something written on their own. And I understand that, you know, people might not be confident in their writing. But to me, it sounded almost like somebody had sent me a pre-written card that they had bought from the store. You know, you buy Valentine's Day cards. Just imagine if you bought, I guess, I don't know, this, just imagine if you paid someone to write a card for you rather than expressing your own thoughts and feelings. It's kind of what it felt like to me. It felt like, again, not disrespectful. I don't think that's the right word, but like, I guess I wasn't important enough to receive a truly heartfelt message, or even not a heartfelt message, but something just written on their own. So, you know, and like I said, other people might not be so sensitive to these tonal, or the tone of a message. Some people might not care, but to me, it really did matter. And so it was a little bit disappointing and painful to read something like that. But it did give me this idea to make this podcast episode because these things can happen. I almost forgot to mention, so I had a relationship with someone a couple years ago, and we were together for about a year. And well, anyway, I won't go into detail, but even with her, I do remember a lot of times her messages, I'm talking text messages, almost sounded like a different person and very neutral, really not much emotion in there. And I know that this is how some people communicate by text as well. Some people write a certain way, and that's perfectly fine. And I think that's why phone calls or in-person conversations, when there are emotions involved or when there is a personal connection, I think those are really important. Again, professional situations, sometimes sticking to writing is better, especially because you have a record. But I think with personal connections, romance, friendship, things like that, family, I think this is why phone calls and in-person conversations really do make a difference. Because even someone who communicates not so emotionally through messages may be able to better express themselves when it's in person or live, I should say, over the phone. So a bit of a ramble there, but I just thought it was a really interesting experience. And I will say one thing that was pretty odd is that, okay, so I think here's how I knew almost 100% sure that it was AI, is that this person also sent a picture that they said they were sending a picture from somewhere they visited, but then the picture had a AI watermark across it. If you don't know what a watermark is, it's usually like when you're using a picture from the internet and they want you to pay for it, there's usually some kind of like writing or logo across the picture, and to remove that, you know, you have to actually buy the picture, right? So that's what happens a lot with AI generated videos and images, is that there will be a little caption or watermark that says AI generated. I just saw this recently, yesterday on a YouTube video that was AI generated, and it had a little logo or a little caption, a watermark on the bottom of the video. So yeah, I almost forgot to mention that, but I think that was pretty much the evidence I needed that the last three emails were definitely AI generated. So yeah, there was this person said that they visited some place and they were going to send me a picture of that place, and then it said AI generated across the picture, and the picture did kind of look AI. I didn't really think about it, but when I looked carefully, it did kind of look like an AI image. And so I think what happened was, for whatever reason, this person used ChatGPT or whatever to generate the email or the message, and also asked ChatGPT to just put in a picture of this place they said that they were visiting. And so I think they just forgot, they didn't think about that. So I don't know. That was a pretty bad sign too. That was some pretty damning evidence. I hope I'm not trying to air my dirty laundry, or kind of talk too much about my personal life. I mean, I do that in class anyway. But I just wanted to mention how these things really do have an effect. I see this at work sometimes, with emails from people from, I'm not going to say coworkers exactly, but from higher ups. Let's just say people from very high up sending emails, and they feel like AI. Even very short messages feel like AI. And I'm thinking, why didn't you spend, you could have spent 1 or 2 minutes to write a real email, and instead you just used AI. I mean, these aren't like long, complicated emails. I mean, it could have been written in 1 or 2 minutes. And to me, it feels, again, I don't know if disrespectful is the right word, but it feels like maybe I'm not important enough for you to spend the time, or you don't want to have a personal connection with me. And I don't know. It seems a bit weird to me. So other people may feel differently, but I've talked to some others and they feel the same way. It doesn't bother them as much. I think it bothers me a lot. So, you can't think too much about how the other person's going to react. But I think it's just something to keep in mind. Just kind of in general is tone. Again, not just thinking about vocabulary and grammar, but thinking about the tone of your message. Like I said, I am going to make a follow-up video with ChatGPT and kind of showing you how to use that to change the tone or to make sure that you have the right tone. I think there's nothing wrong with using ChatGPT. I've said that a million times. I've made a ton of videos, well, not a ton, but I've made a handful of videos on how to use ChatGPT. And I use ChatGPT a lot for work. I just think we need to realize that communication is more than just, having the right organization in your message, using the advanced vocabulary and grammar and all that. I think we really need to think about how our message sounds, not the actual sound of the message, but how the message feels. What is the purpose of our email, right? What is the purpose of our message? What kind of effect do we want to have with that message? It doesn't mean the other person will feel exactly the way that you want them to, or you intend to, or that they will receive it in the way that you intend. But I think there's a lot of work we can do using our own brain, but also having ChatGPT or another AI tool help us figure out the best way to craft that message. So maybe I should leave a lot of these details for the actual video. I might make it later today. I might make it tomorrow. We'll see how much time I have, or we'll see if I want to stay on the computer. But I really wanted to talk about this message that I received recently because I thought it was very interesting. It made me think about a lot of things. It made me think about complaining. If you send an email complaint, again, what is your tone? Are you trying to accuse the other person? Are you trying to get revenge or justice? Are you looking for an apology? Do you want an apology? Do you have a specific outcome that you want? So again, I think tone plays a large role in this. Even something as small as an absence, right? Reporting an absence. So students always send me messages about their absences. And I usually say, don't worry if it's just the 1 or 2 days that you're gone. If you're going to be gone for 1, 2, or 3 weeks, then please, send me a message. And the messages, they have all kinds of tones. Some students explain a lot. Some students don't say much. But I do notice that sometimes the tone of these messages is a little bit maybe not inappropriate in a bad way, but not appropriate for like a school teacher student type of email situation. And personally, I don't care because I know that these are ESL students and that they're probably struggling to figure out the right tone or they're not thinking about the tone. But I think it's important to teach or to learn about that just kind of in general because it may come across a certain way. And you want to be careful again when you're sending emails at work and so on. So I hope that kind of made sense. This was a little bit of an unstructured episode, kind of talking a lot about personal situation, but I think language is about connections, right? It's about communicating with people. English for the students here, this is not a linguistics podcast, and my students are not linguistic students. I'm not teaching linguistics. I'm not teaching English as an academic subject to study. I'm teaching English for communication purposes. And I think if we are going to communicate, we really got to think about how it sounds. Okay, my dog started going crazy again. So maybe that's my cue to get off. I'm trying to keep these under 20 minutes anyway. But I hope you found that helpful. And we'll do keep an eye out for the follow-up video episode where I want to show you how to use ChatGPT for tone, especially for these kinds of personal situations. Again, it's not just about romantic relationships or what maybe could have been romantic, which was my situation. I thought it was going in that direction. But all kinds of personal relationships, coworkers, friends, neighbors, maybe the parents of other children on your children's basketball team, for example. anything where there are emotions and personal connections involved, I would like to show you how to use ChatGPT to create the right tone and to match your intention. And, you know, it could also be, like I said, complaining, reporting absences, and so on. So I'm going to stop there. Definitely check out the summary and the transcript. And again, keep an eye out for that video. It will be coming soon.